Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
A minister of Boy Scouts and a scientist were on a plane, and they were flying, and all of a sudden, it's a little bitty plane, and the pilot comes rushing to the back, and he's all panicked. He says, "Guys, I got some bad news. We got engine trouble. We're going to crash, and we've only got 3 parachutes. I'm the guy. I know where they are." And he takes the first one and jumps out. And so now the 3 are left, and the scientist gets up, and he looks around. And he says, "Well, I want you all to know that I'm one of the smartest guys in the world, and everybody needs me, so I'm going to take the next one." So he takes the next one, and he jumps out of the airplane. There's 2 left, and the minister looks over at the Boy Scout, and the minister says, "Well, you know, I know that Jesus has purchased my salvation, and the Bible teaches me that I'm supposed to, you know, to treat others as I'd like to be treated. So here's the deal. You know, go tell my story and take the parachute." And the Boy Scout looked up and said, Pastor, it's okay," and just patted him on his leg and said, "The scientist grabbed my backpack and jumped out." So today, it's not about how smart you are or how smart you think you are. There's something more important that God is trying to get at. In fact, if we all want to get to the common denominator, there is no ability in any of us to make ourselves right in God's sight. We can't do it. We can't do it. And Paul understands this. In fact, it's at the very foundation of his message as he's writing to the church in Rome. Now, again, this is a church who he'd never visited, but a lot of people hear a lot of things about Paul. He's quite a controversial figure. And so as he's going to pay them a visit, he's kind of sending Romans to let them know, this is what my message is. My message is all about Jesus, and it's all about the cross. In fact, he lays out our need for salvation in the first 8 chapters. And if you are wanting to really get a hold of some key elements of the gospel, familiarize yourself with those first 8 chapters of Romans. It's an important thing. It'll help you share the gospel better to people who need it. And so that's one of the reasons. He also wanted to gain support. You know, Jesus, as the Holy Spirit was given, and Jesus had ascended, he gave a promise to the people saying, "Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria," and then he says, "and to the ends of the earth." And Paul knows that as far west as he can go is Spain at this point. And so he's setting his sight to get all the way to Spain. So he's sending a letter to the church in Rome to try to develop a home base and garnish some support. "Hey, you want to get on board? Here's the message that we're going to send." That's the second reason. But also, there was division in the church. There was great division between the Gentiles and the Jews. And for some of that background, I referred to last week and the events that happened. We're not going to take time today to go do it. But there's a lot of discord between the Jews who felt like if you're going to receive Christ, you got to become a Jew first. And the Gentiles who were receiving grace, and a lot of times they were kind of bringing some other things in. There's all this controversy that was going on. So how we wrapped up last week is this question: am I ashamed of the grace of God? And that's a legitimate question. If we look at our lives, do our lives reflect that we really believe that this message is A, life-changing, and B, it is that important? Or do we kind of knuckle down? Are we willing to share the gospel, or are we kind of like that guy who says, "Oh, you know, my neighbor really needs to know it, or my coworker, or my friend, I know they need Christ, so I'm going to wait till they bring it up. And God, if you want me to share it with them, you let them bring it up, and then I'll know it's a sign from you." Paul's not like that. Now, I know we're not all like Paul, and I'm not trying to cause you to be that annoying person. Please, don't leave thinking that. We need to be shining the love of God, and your life can be a tremendous witness. But we need to be prepared to share Jesus. So we kind of left. Now we're going to go into chapter 3. We're going to kind of look in this next area about God's response. And to set this up, last week, several of us were out there grilling. We had Gary, Mr. Palmer was out there, and we had quite a little, Matt Seelock came out and joined us, and we had quite a little crew going there for a little bit. And as we were grilling, if you remember, we came to church last week and it wasn't really snowy, and all of a sudden it got really snowy and it was kind of nasty out there. And so we're out there grilling and it had quit snowing, but it was cold and there was a fresh coat of snow on the ground. And as we were flipping steaks and chicken, we looked down the street and these couple of kids came walking down the street, and one of them was in a pair of shorts, tennis shoes, and a short sleeve shirt, right? Yeah. And so, me being the ambassador that I am, decided to call out to him and say, "Hey, young man, do you know it's cold out?" And he kind of gave me this look like, "Huh? Yeah, teenagers. Yeah. Are you cold?" And he's like, "No." And so, my next thought was, and honestly, I was willing to give him my jacket because I was wearing a Rams jacket that I don't care about anymore. So I was willing to make the big sacrifice to give it to him. And that's why I was grilling with it, because I didn't care if it got all smoky. So I sat there and I was like, "You know, if you're cold, I want to give you something here." So I said, "But hey, do you need a jacket?" And he's like, he didn't say a word. And he just walked on. Now, that's not the end of the story, because they walked around the area and they must have walked uptown. And then I heard some things and I saw him down the alley. And the boy was doing this. It's like, "Are you cold?" "No, I'm not cold," you know. And I began to think, you can't fix stupid, right? You know, so one of those thoughts went through my mind. But I promise you, as I thought that, the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of me and said, "I want you to look at that kid and I want you to know something. That's you." It's like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "That's you, because that's how you act with me. I've got covering for you. I've got something here, and you constantly act like you don't need me. You constantly act like you're not cold, you're not uncovered, you're not shivering, your sin is not there. You act like it's all okay. And I'm telling you, you're just like that little boy. I don't need you, God. I'm fine. And for just that moment, I felt the rebuke and the embrace at the same time. And that's what I love about God. He rebukes and He embraces at the same time. He's like, "You know what? I'm calling you out on this, but I want you to know I've got you covered." Isn't God awesome? And so for that moment, I began to see Romans chapter 3 a little bit clearer. Romans chapter 3, the first thing is this: God is holy and we are not. You see, in Romans chapter 3, verses 10, Paul says it like this, and I'm going to kind of add some emphasis, whether Paul meant it or not. This is kind of how I'm understanding it. None is righteous. No, not one. That's my emphasis added, because I think when I say none is righteous, some of us think, "Well, you just don't know the Sunday school teacher that I had. She was perfect, you know. We all know somebody, maybe a grandma, maybe a great aunt, maybe somebody in our lives who we think, man, well, they're just about as perfect as you could get. Anybody have one of those figures in your life that's just awesome?" I had one of those figures in my life, and this person became my mentor. And I thought, man, they walk on water. They can do no wrong. And the closer I got to this individual who was gracious enough to take me under his wing and began to teach me wonderful, great things about God and bring me up in God. And I was almost guilty of worshiping this person. And the closer I got, the more I realized this: there is none righteous. No, not one. Everybody's got stuff. Can we all agree with that this morning? Everybody's got something. You may not have everything, but I guarantee you, you got something. We all have issues. We all have things that we struggle with. We all have areas in our life. In Romans 3:23, Paul kind of sums this up with saying this: "For all." Everybody say all. No, say it annoying like I do. All. Wow, that is annoying. I'm sorry. Okay. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There's two things. I love how he says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because there we have sins of commission and sins of omission. Because there's some sins of commission, things that we know that we do that we shouldn't have done. But there's also falling short of the glory of God is a righteous standard of action. And I think some of us say, well, you know what? I didn't cuss anybody out today. I didn't murder anybody today. I didn't, you know, I wasn't unfaithful. I didn't do any of these things. So you know what? I feel pretty good today. I did my thing. But we also have another place here, falling short of the glory of God. Did you walk godly? Well, you're kind of putting a difficult thing here. And he doesn't let up here. You see, this message was to the Gentiles and the Jews. The Gentiles who didn't have the law, and so they were kind of used to a way of acting. They were kind of used to the righteousness of God. Sin was a foreign thing to them. They had to be taught these things about the holiness of God. You know, as a little kid, you have to teach, hey, don't hit your neighbor. Don't hit people. Don't do these things. Yeah, you probably have to teach a lot of that, Ms. Rubin. Yeah, they get a lot of those things. You have to teach people because they don't know. Well, we have people who are kind of absent. What, you know, it's wrong to blaspheme God? Some people think that, you know, they just grow up with an environment. They don't know it's wrong to take the Lord's name in vain. Things like that. Now, I'm not going back before you think, well, you're trying to make a legalistic place here. If we look at the Jews, who this message was given to the Jews, they had the law, but they were finding every way they could to skirt around the law and do it as long as it didn't inconvenience them. In other words, they had a form of godliness. They had a religious exterior, but he knew, as Jesus confronted them, that their hearts were far away. They could do the right things. They knew the right thing to say. They could do these pieces, but their hearts weren't really towards God. You know people like that. They can see everyone else's faults, but not their own. They can tell 100 different things about where they are. God's calling them out, both the Jew and the Gentile, and he's telling them this. God's going to judge this unrighteousness. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So God's calling them both out. Here's why. Maybe you'll relate to this. I hope not, but I do. And I'm not saying that proudly. And I believe that the audience that Paul's writing to like to act like God is a moron. I'm not saying blasphemy, I'm saying this. We know, and you're all going to get this, you know sometimes that there's things you ought not do, but you play stupid. Or you think this, I know it ain't quite right, but I'm just going to harden my heart to that piece. Or better yet, I'll just do it and then I'll ask for forgiveness afterwards. Come on, somebody. There's that twinge in my heart that I know, you know what? Everyone else does it, so it must be okay. You know in your heart that there's that issue. And so we act like God is like some guy in a toll booth who's so far away, who doesn't understand things, and we're going to play the system. We're going to do whatever we can to play the system and manipulate God, so that we can really do whatever we want and our faith doesn't become inconvenient to how we walk out. Can I get an amen in this place today? Both sides, Jew, Gentile, the quote-unquote ungodly, the outsider, and the people who were near who had the law. There's this thing inside of us that we try to find a way. Like we're just like that kid walking in the street. I'm not cold. Yeah, you are. You're not. What you're not is honest at this point. I'm not busting them out. The deal is we're all like that to some way. And Paul is writing and he's saying, look, in terms of righteousness, we got to understand that God is pure, or is perfect, and he's pure, and unholiness cannot be around him. And because of that, there's judgment that's coming. We all have to realize that, in fact, we need God. As we sang, I need you, Lord. I need you every hour. I need you. We need to rewrite that every minute, every second, every day, 24/7. We are out in the cold and we're saying, I'm not cold. Can anybody relate to that? In specific, to the Jews, you need a relationship, not a bunch of rules. And to the Gentiles, you need to understand that there's change coming. That the God that you serve is in fact holy, and God wants us to reflect his godliness, not say, hey, God's going to forgive me. It doesn't matter how I act. God's going to forgive me. And yes, God is a gracious God. Anybody thankful that he's gracious and he's merciful? Yeah. But you know what? Time is out for us saying that I'm a Christian, but I don't act godly. Because then you're not. A Christian is a Christ follower. It's someone who emulates Christ's teaching to love God first with all. Everybody say all. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all of your strength. Can we really, before we even go to the love your neighbor yourself, can we get that one settled? Because if we got that one settled, the next one's not going to be that hard. You see, we have a group of people who's trying to say this. As long as I do a couple of good things, I feel better about myself, and I'm calling that out today. If you're sitting here in this room, if you're watching online, God bless you. But I got to tell you, if there's something going on in your life and in your heart where you say, hey, because I've done a couple things or because I didn't do certain things, that now I feel better about my relationship with God, honey, you're on sinking sand. That's a slippery slope. And we have all, I believe most of us in this room, have gotten comfortable with that. And that is just like that little boy. You're really uncovered because the covering that you're using is not ever designed to make you eternally secure. The only eternal security that we have is through the grace of God. That'll preach. Righteousness that only God can provide is this. Romans 3:21-23. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested. Look at this. Paul says, apart from the law. Up to this point, they're like, look, if you don't eat the wrong things, if you don't stay away from unclean things, don't touch dead things, here's the laws of purity. If you do this, you can take care of yourself. And God knew that it was doomed from the beginning because it was pointing to the fact that we can't fix ourselves. The whole book of Leviticus is all broken into that. He goes to this. A righteousness from God has been manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith. How do we get righteous? Through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Jumping down to verse 28. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, he is of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by faith? In other words, as he's saying, like a lot of us have gotten very comfortable, it doesn't matter what my actions are because God will forgive me. Can we do that? No. He says, by no means. And then he says, on the contrary, which means the opposite is true. We uphold the law. And then he turns the page and goes into Romans chapter 4, and he brings up a very important character in Scripture. Everybody bear with me just a couple more minutes and we're done. Can you believe that? Because it's not true. Okay. Yes, it will. A couple is an indeterminate time. It's not like it. Okay. Romans chapter 4. He begins to talk about Abraham. How many of you remember Abraham? Right? Father Abraham had many sons. Yeah. What does it have to do with right arm, left arm, head out? I don't know. I don't know where the deep theology is about that. You know, it's and turning. I got turn around. That's it. We repent. No, I'm not going to try to put that. Look what he says. He says, "What then should we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh?" He said, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. For what the scriptures say, Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteous." Now. And then he goes on in verse 10, he says, how then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but it was before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Okay, so now everyone who's got kids, we're going to talk in little older words, hopefully above them, but we're going to kind of get into something here because God called Abraham and said, here's what we're going to do. I want to bless you and I want to make you a great nation, and through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And here's a sign. I'm going to do all this. And here's a sign of the covenant that you're going to have. And then he told them about circumcision. And I'm sure Abraham's saying, you want to do what to what? Come on. We're all adults here. Pastor, what are you talking about? I don't want to get a medical dictionary, okay? Think about what Abraham is thinking. I mean, seriously. Okay, we're talking about religion, and now you're going to do what? What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Seriously, where are you coming with this, God? What does... I don't get this. All right. Here's the point. Abraham could have said, you know what? I get it. Faith. I believe. And then stopped. Because the fact that he believed, that's when he was right. In fact, the Bible tells us that he heard the word of God and he responded and went to a land that he didn't know. And he began to sojourn in this place. And the Bible tells us that he moved by faith. And now Paul is picking that up and saying, by faith he was right in God. Well then, now that's when he was right in God. So a lot of us have adopted this philosophy that because we know that God will forgive us, it doesn't matter what we do. Here's the deal. Are we people who really will follow through? We believe God. And are we kind of like that? What do you mean? Has God ever laid something on your heart that was difficult? Has God ever, I don't believe that Abraham was like, yeah, that sounds like a good weekend. Woohoo! Yeah. Hello? I think that this was a little troubling to him. I'm telling you, it'd be troubling to me. If we want to just be honest and lay our cards on the table, this is serious stuff. And he's saying something about that it wasn't the act. It wasn't this act of circumcision that did something in his heart. It was that God had, his actions were a reflection of what God had already done. In other words, God was wanting to remove what we talk about is removing the reproach, is removing the shame, removing the guilt. He was wanting to remove some things in his life, some very sensitive things, some very personal things in his life. And so for some of us, we think, God, do you really want to get involved in my finances? Because that's a personal thing. You know what? I got my spirituality and I got my person and I got my finances. Or some of us think that, you know, our friend circle or our social life, you know what? That doesn't matter to God. What he's really about is that I get it and I'm in church on Sunday morning and I read the word and I do a couple good things. No! Guys, I'm going back to that's playing games with God. That's keeping him on the outside. Like with Abraham, God wants to get down to the most intimate personal places in your life. Circumcision is a direct foreshadowing of what's going to happen with baptism in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. He's saying some very important things. The fact that is there something magical in the water? No, it's about the faith that happens in our life. But is it important? He's saying that belief was credited as righteousness, and his faith led to obedient actions. And those actions were applying God's word into the really difficult place. So as we were talking about, has God sometimes put his hand in places of your life that you feel are uncomfortable? And I would say, how many of us say, yeah? And many times do we kind of play off. If we were going to use this symbol of Abraham, we'd say, I get it. And because I get it, that means I don't have to walk through this. You see, if Jesus adopted that philosophy, Jesus says, okay, I'll forget someone else. There's another way that I don't have to go to the cross. No. Brothers and sisters, this is important for us. You see, we need to become a people of spiritual follow through. We don't just get to believe and then avoid the discomfort or the changes that God wants to bring inside of our lives. There was going to be a drastic change in Abraham from that day on. It was a deeply personal one, if you get the drift. Don't stop and don't be unashamed. Brothers and sisters, that's what this is about. Don't be unashamed of the change that God wants to bring, because here's the truth. Anything that God asks for, he wants to replace with something better. Let me say that again. Anything that God asks for, He wants to replace with something better, something eternal, something that's going to play into your destiny. Now, what's that look like for us? A lot of us walk around and we're screaming for identity. I want to be this. And so we make choices and we make decisions and we try to define ourselves. What God's saying is you can't do that. The truest definition that you will find as a child of God is when you let Him define you. And brothers and sisters, sometimes that works against our flesh. Because we, how many of you are selfish people, if you want to be honest? The truth is, most of us are. Most of us are self-centered. Most of us have this area where we look out for number one first, because it's ingrained in us from the Garden of Eden. And God wants to say, I want to infuse you with something different. I want to give you a new life where your life is a purpose. Your life is about changing other people's destinies and giving them eternal life that I have given to you freely. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. And I want to be like Paul. I want to be unashamed. Let's wrap it up like this. Romans 5. 2, verse 4. And listen to these words. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, and I'm calling that out. If you say, you know what, I went to church and I didn't cuss anybody out and I didn't cheat on my taxes, I feel better about my relationship with God. If, like the majority of us, that we somehow have adopted that philosophy, brothers, we gotta adopt some serious soul searching in the next 7 days. Because God is putting His finger on that thing. He wants to give you something better. He wants to know that you are eternally secure because of your faith in Him. And if we all, like I am guilty of, and I think all of us, we want to grow with God, He wants to replace it. He wants us to give it to Him and Him give us something better. And when we do that, our actions will have pure motives, because it's honest to self. If I do something so I feel better about myself, isn't that selfish? If the truest form. I know, hard stuff, guys. This is character. This is changing our character to be more godly. Verse 2, through Him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, now see, this is what changes. Now, if we're justified by faith, instead of whining about our sufferings, which we all do, I have a job because of that. Somebody got it. 99.9% of what I do is, and I'm not bemoaning that. I'm saying it's all this. How can we point through? Because I'm just as guilty as anything. I'm the biggest whiner. Okay. That's not a message. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, I look at this, while we were still that little kid walking down the alley, uncovered, shivering in our boots, and someone said, are you cold? And we said, nope. I'm not cold. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God showed His love for every person in this room today, that while you were still ignoring Him, saying, I'm not cold, I don't have a problem, I don't need to be covered, Christ died for you. Christ was at the store purchasing you a coat, trying to take care and trying to cover you. He died for us. Jesus didn't stop partway. Abraham didn't stop partway. Brothers and sisters, are we? Are we stopping partway? Don't be ashamed of God's grace in your life. Proclaim it. Go all the way. So what are the areas in your life that God has tried to bring into account? What are the areas that God wants to address? I want you to know today that God is in our midst and He's covering us and He's compelling us. Amen? So I'll stand.
The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.